The religion of science is trying to take over our thoughts, basically our religion. Our religion is being usurped by science now, if we let it. And where the CDC is now making rules and now making laws and granting freedoms, basically science is becoming God. Our next guest is a tier one scientist. He's not these hacks that are just around here that are manipulating you and used to control you. He is James McKinney, of course, one of my absolute favorites. JMCCSCI.com is his website. It's always a pleasure. Who knows where this conversation will go. But anyway, James, welcome back to the Power Hour.
Thanks, Daniel. And yeah, big, big topic today. We were talking about this before the show.
Well, let's go there. I've mentioned a couple books in the past. One of them I went and got before you came on. That's what took me so long to get. Barely got here before the show. Judas Scepter and Joseph's Birthright is a book written about the beginning of 1900. There's several other ones. Wes, I know, sent me a book about our unknown inheritance, which is a very good book. This has been chronicled, you know, who are the Israelite nations? We think, oh, Israel over there in the Middle East and where Jerusalem is, that's where Israel is, and that's where all the Israelite tribes are and all that. And it's really not true. And it's a myth, and it's a false myth, because that's just not true. Anyway, James McKinney, let's get into this a little bit. I'm so excited you want to talk about this. I had no idea that you were such an expert. Anywhere you want to go, you start. Generally, what are we talking about here?
Well, just a summary, going all the way back to Abraham, he started the Israelite entire line, genealogy, and they have moved through history and have been lost several times. They've been enslaved several times, and they're in the process of being enslaved right now. But primarily, there was a remnant that stayed in Israel. They're still there. And they've been completely taken over by other groups that have no history there at all. Basically taken over. But the main core of the Israelites who have prospered afterwards went to northern Spain, northern France, northern Europe, northern Germany. When Moses came out of Egypt with the Israelites, and even that story has been taken over by other groups who claim that they were with Moses, which is total fantasy. But the Israelites let me just complete this. Israelites were very aware of their heritage and which house they were from. For example, when you come all the way down to the time of Christ, he was a blonde-haired, blue-eyed, white-skinned Israelite, and his mother, Mary, was of the house of David. So they knew who their relatives were. My last show last week, everybody has to listen to it. I go into depth on who Joseph of Arimathea was, Mary's uncle, who was the great-uncle of Christ, an extremely wealthy businessman, well known in Rome. He was born in Israel. He was a Judahite, and there again, those names are all confounded today. But at any rate, the bottom line here is that the Israelites moved around in history, and that history is well known. They ended up in northern Germany, northern Europe, basically Scandinavia, and the English islands, and where they prospered tremendously. And England is a rare case because it got infiltrated by Romans, by the European banking community, which is the Queen of England, was not even born in England, if you can imagine that. She has nothing to do with England, and she married into the House of Lords or whatever in England. From Germany. She was brought there to tie that bridge with the Rothschild banking community. And England is an epicenter of banking. Okay, but the Israelites then in mass moved to the United States. Like I'm Irish, clearly McKinney, and my ancestors were Vikings that came and populated the north and western bays of Ireland back around 800 AD. But all of these people prospered, and then most of them at some point moved to the United States. Like my ancestors came in the late 1800s during the potato famine. And, right now, for example, there's 169 McCannies in the United States, very tightly knit group of people, but not very many. But the point is that the United States is an Israelite nation that's being destroyed right now by atheist, communist scum that have moved in and taken over. And I want to mention one other guy that's greatly important here is Cecil Rhodes. Cecil Rhodes began the Rhodes Scholar Program in the United States to pluck promising attorneys and graduate students and other people out of the United States to take them to Oxford, where they're educated on how to destroy the United States. So you have Bill Clinton and Susan Rice, and I could go on and on. There's about 7,000 of them now running Washington, D.C., etc. And then there's another important group called the Jesuits, who were Jews in Spain during the Middle Ages, who converted to Catholicism and then went underground to continue their basically nefarious programs, and became, by just infiltrating the Catholic Church, became controlling of the Catholic Church, and that's where the Rothschild Bank comes from. It's the front agency for the Vatican Bank, which gained tremendous wealth after Columbus discovered America, and they raped and pillaged the Incas and the Aztecs primarily for gold, tremendous amounts of gold. That's where that bank got its start. And its dominance of the world governments. They created marriages, they created wars, and all of that money that came in through Spain and England, etc., all went back to the Vatican Bank, which controls the United States, controls England. Right now, England is in lockdown, another Israelite nation, completely controlled by Jesuit bankers. Anyway, I'll stop there. That's the intro. And
color me interested. Let me just say that. Let's go back. I can tell this is going to be a controversial broadcast, but let's have this discussion. People have a lot of opinions, yep. And they're very dogmatic about their Bible. Like, hey, let's go back to the Bible. Let's start there. Abraham was the father of Isaac. Isaac had two sons, Jacob and Esau. Esau was the firstborn and had the birthright. Jacob, because of his mother, the story from the Bible, he came in. The birthright was then given to Jacob. He's also called the supplanter by many people. Some people call him whatever. That's Israelite ancestors. That's America's ancestor. Jacob then made a covenant with God on a pillar stone in Bethel. He named the place, and his name was changed from Jacob to Israel. The 12 tribes of Israel. Why 12 tribes? He had 12 sons. Reuben being the firstborn, Joseph being the firstborn of his second wife, Rachel. So Leah, Rachel, he had four wives. So four wives. Jacob was the firstborn of Rachel. Reuben lost his position because of wickedness. Judah kind of became the scepter, the crown. The authority, the crown authority went to Judah. That's why the name of this one book, Judah's Scepter, Joseph's Birthright, the birthright. And then when the 12 tribes became 13, because as Jacob died, Israel died, the person Israel, he blessed Joseph's sons who saved them in Egypt. He had two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh. He crossed his hands, gave the greater blessing to Ephraim and Manasseh. They became two separate tribes. So Joseph had a double portion. So it became the 13 tribes of Israel. Actually, 10 tribes that were known, the three lost tribes, or 10 lost tribes, and then the three tribes that were in Jerusalem being Judah, Levi, and I think Benjamin. And then the other 10 tribes with the birthright being with Joseph. Okay, this is biblical history. I don't think anybody who knows anything about the Bible can dispute pretty much anything I just said. That's biblical history.
That's what the Bible is. It is the Old Testament. It's a book of genealogy.
There you go. And this is very important. Like you've mentioned, when Jesus was alive, who you came from, where you, your history was extremely important. Less so today, unfortunately, but very important. Always. Why? Where you came from, your birthright, your that covenant with God, what history, his story, the Bible, a covenant, the New Testament, the Old Covenant, the New Covenant, all with Israel, with the house of Israel, and Jesus opening it up to everybody, that everybody can be adopted into this family, that the nations of the earth, this is the covenant in the big overview portrayal of the Bible. I mean, this is it. This family is intertwined in this story with the Bible. Okay, from there, we have Babylonian captivity, Assyrian captivity, and you have different migrations that you mentioned. Talk a little bit about from that point, comment on anything I've said about the history of the Bible, and then from there, kind of how people migrated and how did Israelites end up in Britain?
Well, there's a couple of really, really important epochs here. The one is where the Israelites are, it's called a bondage in Egypt. But there was, from more modern studies, it wasn't like the movies you see where they're in loincloths being whipped and pulling hemp ropes, big rocks, and building the pyramids. It wasn't like that. The Israelites were craftsmen. They were very industrious, and they were actually treated quite well. But the thing was, when the Venus, the comet came by, and this is another part of history that is totally, totally whitewashed and denigrated and thrown out, and, you know, from Carl Sagan and you know, the people who have no idea about real science. The issue was that there was a big comet in the solar system, and it came by. And that's when the Israelites took off out of Egypt. They left, and Pharaoh did come after them because he believed that they were his subjects, just like exists today in England. The Canadian people and the English people are not people, they're subjects. They are owned their property of the crown, just like the land is. Okay, so this was the case in Egypt. Pharaoh thought he believed these people were his, and so when they left, as all of this stuff is going on after the nights they spent completely hidden in the Passover, what is, by the way, there's many other people that celebrate the Passover, including the Mayans, who talk about the exact same event of Venus coming by. They had to seal themselves with mud in their huts so that the gases would not come in, the poisonous gases that were coming from the comet coming by, because it was a close encounter. And they knew about this stuff. Modern people don't know about this. They've been kept from this by the mental masters of the Vatican, etc. It's been all whitewashed. So anyway, Moses, after the Passover, Moses takes the people and they say, we're out of here. So they leave. And they go off and they're walking down the edge of the Red Sea, and the Pharaoh's armies are coming after them, and the Red Sea is sloshing back and forth because of the tidal waves, and it gives them enough time to cross a narrow passage, get to the other side, and then Pharaoh's chariots are coming in after them, and the water comes back and it washes them all away. Those chariots have been discovered in the bottom of the Red Sea. This is history, folks. This is not fairy tale. You will not see this in a history book. Okay,
why?
So that's very important.
Why?
Because this whole history has been taken over by Jews. I'll just put it the way it is. And the idea that they somehow have a right to Israel, where all of this, where these people ended up. Remember, they were coming out of Egypt, crossed the Red Sea, and then they were in the desert for 40 years, according to the story. And all of that time, their way was lit by a large light in the sky, which was the comet Venus, as it worked its way in to where it is today. Same story the Mayans tell us, same story that comes from China, from every other Tibetan source around the world. And that's what Belikovsky was studying. He was studying calendars and the history of these events. Yeah, he wasn't studying astronomy or anything else. I mean, he was translating old texts is what he was doing. And he realized that they were all saying the same thing. But anyway, that's very important because that's where the 12 tribes went out and kind of scattered. That was the starting point. Okay, then you come down. Some of them stayed in the Mideast. This is where Christ comes in. His Jesus' mother, Mary, was of the house of David. So they knew. Those people had tracked their Hebrew heritage all the way down. And then remember the whole time, the birth of Christ, they went to Bethlehem because they were of that town through their heritage of the house of David. And so that's why they went there, and that's where Jesus was born. And then, that was part of the history. Last week on my show, I really encourage people to go listen to that. It's archived on my webpage. But I talk about a guy named Joseph of Arimathea. That was Mary's uncle. He's the guy that went to the cross and had the legal right to take the body of Christ after the crucifixion. It had to be somebody from the family, but he was a very wealthy Roman, and he was the minister of mines of Rome. And so when he went to England, he had his mines in the region around what is now Glastonbury. He was able to go into England because he was an Israelite. If the Romans tried to go there, that was the main source of metal for lead, tin, iron, copper for the Roman Empire, of which around that time they were expanding. They needed iron, and that was their main source. But the Romans couldn't go to England. They needed an emissary who was an Israelite because the Israelites lived in England. You see what I mean? These are very important connections to understand. These are little things that are totally lost from history. Okay, so anyway, the Irish people, the Northern European people, and they were Celts. They were called Celts, but they were basically Israelites, fierce warrior people. They helped England, for example. They were big into shipping. And remember, all the big ships were built in Ireland. Why was that? Because they had been building ships forever. These were Vikings that populated. That's why the big shipbuilding industry was in Belfast, because the Irish were shipbuilders all the way up to the Titanic and beyond. Okay, so I'm just kind of going all over the board here because there's so many pieces of this history to fill in.
I love it.
So the Moses
you just
event
continue,
was a
James.
Huge
it's great.
The Moses event was a huge event because that's where the 12 tribes came out of Egypt and scattered. And some came back to the eastern Mediterranean, and some kept going east. And then they went north into what is now western Russia, and then they moved up into northern Europe. And you have to understand the geography of Europe. You have the Black Forest, which separates Northern Europe from Italy. You have the Pyrenees mountain chain, which separates France from Spain. So when the Moors were moving in very successful in south and western Spain, they couldn't move eastward because of the Pyrenees. The Israelites were occupying northern Spain, but eventually just pushed up into the British Isles, where they had really no competition. They prospered for hundreds, literally thousands of years there. The Vikings finally became known around 800 AD, but they had been prospering and developing up in basically Norway until the point where they just outgrew the place, the ability to support them. So they were seafarers. And by the way, the boats of the Vikings, the Viking longships, were the same design, lapstrake, double-ended, with the high prow and the animal head in front, that the Phoenicians used before the Moses event. The other thing that happened at the Moses event was a pole shift. When Venus came by, we experienced about a 30-degree shift in the poles. Antarctica, which was a continent in temperate climate, moved to the South Pole, and that's where they are down there right now investigating the secret societies that own the world are down there uncovering all this history and keeping it from you, the public. So anyway, that's just one other piece of the puzzle. The Vatican is very interested in science and especially comets. And so when Hale-Bopp came, they had already built a telescope, but it's, they had a telescope built in Arizona, and it was specifically for comets. It's not a deep sky telescope. I knew the astronomers that worked there. They were astronomers, professional astronomers from the University of Minnesota primarily. And they were looking at Hale-Bopp. The Hubble Space Telescope was looking at Hale-Bopp since 1991. The public discovery of Hale-Bopp was not until 1995. And the Vatican astronomers were in charge of all of this. So anyway, they were, this is the Planet X object that Robert Harrington was looking for since 1978 and through the 80s, et cetera. And he finally discovered around 1991. He got the final data. And at that point, they knew that this object was coming into the solar system, et cetera. And that's a whole nother story in itself. But the reason I'm mentioning is because comets are central to all of these different events. And that's why they have to keep this ridiculous, stupid, dirty snowball ice ball comet model theory floating around, because they don't want the public to know their true history. If you look at the Noah's flood, the Moses event, which was related to Venus, the comet, the birth of Christ was related to comets. The Christmas star was a comet, very clearly. Every year you hear astronomers come out and talk about, oh, it was a planetary alignment or some crap, something completely ridiculous, because they are desperate to keep the public from finding out about comets. And then all of the disinformation you heard for a decade still coming out, two decades literally, all the garbage about Planet X, that's all CIA driven. They find these yahoos that are just, they don't know anything, and they're every month, every week a new YouTube video comes out, some guy predicting Planet X, end of the world. It's to keep the public, diversified to where they really don't know what's going on.
Chasing their tail, basically.
Chasing their tail, you bet. So at any rate,
there's the music. Let's stop right there. This is fantastic. I don't even know if I can ask you all. I don't even know what I'm going to ask you next, but I will ask you something on the other side, ladies and gentlemen. I think you're going to want to hear it. Stay tuned. James McCanny, jmccsei.com. You can hear his the whole lesson that he gave on all this. We're just touching on it in different parts of it. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. What in the world is this crazy Willard water?
It's a proprietary solution, and it's a water additive that was invented by my grandfather, Dr. John Willard, and hence the name Willard Water. Boosts a number of different things. We see most prominently that it's increasing the absorption, utilization, and storage of nutrients in the cells. So, for example, if people were drinking, we see a big boost in B vitamin absorption utilization. If you see it in plants, we see a big boost in their ability to absorb and retain fertilizers or nutrients in the soil. So we see with things like microbes. If you used a microbe on soil, for example, to replenish the soil, and you sprayed our Willard water on it, go through that replenishing cycle much faster.
Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at theparamall.com. That's theparamall.com.
We know you like savings, and we know you like Strauss. Strauss Natural Products, 10% off this entire week. From now through this Sunday, call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829 and get a 10% discount on all our Strauss products. Right now, through the end of the week, or online at thepowermall.com. Buy from the good guys. Buy from thepowermall.com. Hurry, sale ends this Sunday.
My husband is a welder by trade, but he grinds his welding products, and he doesn't wear a helmet or a mask to do that. And he had this cruddy stuff in his lungs and it just wasn't going away. And I heard you one time talking about the Sera enzyme for the lungs. And my goodness, I mean, he can breathe so much easier, and I don't hear that crud in his lungs. Thank you so very much.
To find out more about this product or others like it, go to our website at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com. Call 877-817-9829. That number again is 877-817-9829. Jay's standing by to take your call. Now more than ever, we need your support. Buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
Hi, this is Catherine at the Power Hour. The Power Mall began when Joyce Riley discovered an all-natural soap that heals skin issues and can replace your bathing, laundry, and household cleaning products. That soap is Miracle 2 and is made from natural minerals and coconut extract with no added fragrances or colors and is naturally concentrated and biodegradable. I guarantee after you discover how amazing Miracle 2 products are, you'll recommend them to everyone you know. To order, call 877-817-9829 or visit thepowermall.com today. You'll learn why so many people say, it's not just soap, it's a miracle.
We're not very superstitious here at the Power Hour, but your lucky number this week is 17. Why? Because we have 17 products from the North American Herb & Spice at a discounted rate of 10%. 10% off all North American Herb & Spice products today all the way through this Sunday. Check out the full line of North American Herb & Spice products at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com or call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Buy from the good guys. Buy from thepowermall.com. Hurry, sale ends this Sunday.
We've all heard about antibiotics, but what about probiotics? Antibiotic means against life. Probiotic means pro-life. Antibiotics kill bacteria that are infectious and harmful to the body. They also kill the good bacteria, though, that are necessary for good health. Probiotics from Living Streams replaces the healthy balance of friendly bacteria and normalizes the digestive tract. Gastritis, ulcers, diarrheal disease is just a few of the problems people develop when the intestinal flora is out of balance. Living Streams probiotics create the healthy balance needed for good digestion, suppresses growth of pathogenic bacteria, and actually increases resistance to infection. Call the Power Hour, 877-817-9829. Order your Living Stream probiotics today. They're available in 2, 4, and 8-ounce bottles, and Living Streams probiotics comes with a money-back guarantee. Get your body back in balance with Living Streams probiotics today. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Living Streams probiotics. Everyone should be pro-life.
We're talking to James McCanny. Before we get back to this great interview about the House of Israel, really history, you know, woven through their travels, through their ups, their downs, the whole thing. It's the Creator's hand on them and what that means for the rest of the world. Fascinating. I'd like to remind you about the Power Mall, great specials, North American Herb & Spice. Don't forget the Strauss products, the heart drops, the kidney, bladder, REM sleep, Tranquil, all on sale at thepowermall.com, 877-817-9829. One of the things that, you know, he mentioned the Israelite nations going up towards Russia, the Caucasus Mountains kind of being secluded there for a while. Caucasians, where do you think the word Caucasian comes from? All the Israelites, they came to the Caucasus Mountains. They eventually left there. Caucasians came from the Caucasus Mountains. Who was at the Caucasus Mountains? The Israelites that had fled for different reasons, for captivity or for safety or for whatever, different reasons. You talk about Ireland. One of the things that Ireland is most known for is its kilt. Every kilt that I've ever seen, everyone that I've ever seen, I'm not an expert, maybe there's different ones, everyone I've ever seen is like, has a pattern, has many colors to it. Do you think it has anything to do with their father, Joseph, the coat of many colors? There's a newspaper article from the mid-early 1800s. Forgive me for not knowing the year. The year that Queen Victoria was coronated. She was coronated twice, Queen of England and also Princess of India, or she had some title about India. On both occasions, she was coronated on a stone, a very peculiar stone, a stone of destiny, as it's called. The newspaper article from, I think it's 1837, don't quote me on that, but I think it is, 1837, said that this stone was the very stone that Jacob made a covenant with God in the land of Bethel and Luz. The stone of destiny. how, this was what the newspaper article said. How in the world does the Queen of England have the stone of destiny that Jacob from the Bible laid upon and wrestled with the angel all night and made a covenant with God on? How is that even possible if this story is not true?
Daniel, there are so many issues like this. And one is Princess Diana. The British people loved her because she was from the original bloodline of the English kings and queens. And the mom of Charles, boy, that was, if that was not the wicked witch of the West hating Cinderella, or I mean Snow White, yeah, or whatever it was, I don't know what it was.
Because she was from Hanover. Yeah, the Queen of England's from Hanover, from the Germans, from the, what's it?
Yeah.
I can't remember what the name it is, but the Hanovers.
Sure, sure. That's the Rothschilds, and she was brought over from Germany. She wasn't even born in England, you know, and, but anyway, that's the takeover. And those are the people that are ruling England right now, an Israelite nation that's being ruled with an iron hand. They are in lockdown now. They're being prevented from going on vacation. No smiling, no laughing here. And this is the way these psychotic people are. Here's an interesting little fun fact. When the Irish people dance, have you seen Riverdance or any of these, you know, Kaylee or whatever, they dance with their arms at their side. And the reason is because when the British occupied Ireland, they would not allow any dancing or music or anything, any kind of celebration or gatherings, which is what's going on today. COVID, they're using as a mask for that. But when the British soldiers would walk by the windows, they would see the people just milling around with their arms at their side. And that was so that the soldiers wouldn't come in and arrest them for having a party. That's literally why they, and that's still traditional, they dance with their arms at their sides. So this has been going on for a long time. And the same element is in the process right now of destroying the Israelite nation. That's what the genetic change is all about. It's getting rid of that Israelite lineage once and for all. And that's going on right now.
Talk about the United States, how, you know, I've said this, you know, I've taken a lot of flack for it. Let me just put it this way. For the way I've discussed the Declaration of Independence, that the Declaration of Independence is much more than a political document. It is a fulfillment of covenant. And it's a fulfillment of covenant of the House of Israel that they would be free if they would have God, if they would have God as their God. If God could be their God, then he would make them free and set them out above all nations. They would lend and not borrow. They would be the head, not the tail. All these things. The Declaration of Independence, William Bradford, when he landed the covenant with Jehovah, the Declaration of Independence, the signers, it's basically a covenant with the divine, a covenant with our creator. That the people who came and settled America, who founded our nation, pretty much entirely were Israelite. Catholics weren't even allowed in most of the United States. Tell me if any of what I said was wrong, or add to or take away any way you want to, James.
Well, the Catholic Church is an interesting phenomenon because it had so many changes through the ages. It became different things, etc. It kept the books and things like that through traditions, but they were taken over by the Jesuits. And the Jesuits now run all of our universities. They run the banking system in the United States, the Federal Reserve. They own the politicians. You have the a lot of the structure of Washington, the higher structure, this revolving door, and these are the Oxford, the Rhodes Scholars, who are all over the place running things. They're very high in office. You know, Susan Rice, Bill Clinton, and the list goes on and on. Bill Clinton, by the way, was the illegitimate son of one of the Rockefellers. That's how he got into this mix. And when Hillary hooked her wagon to him, to Billy, she knew that. She knew that one day she'd have a shot at being president if she would just bide her time, and that's what that was all about. But anyway, you know, Bill and Hillary were big with the CIA. They were doing a lot. They were in the drug trafficking business down in Arkansas. That's why Mena, Arkansas was a landing point for the CIA drug trafficking, because Billy was governor there. So when he became president, They switched that to Waco, Texas. And that's what the Waco, Texas thing was about, because the Branch Davidian were very aware of the trafficking going on at the little airport there, which was where the C-110s were coming in with the drugs. Anyway, this is all related to the CIA being the police force of the World Bank. The CIA is not an intelligence agency of the United States. It's the police force of the Vatican Bank in the United States. And they run havoc all over the world to make sure that the control is there for the excuse me, for the banking system. And that's the same in the United States. You see all these congressmen, Republicans, Democrats, you know, state, local officials around the country being supported on the, you know, money coming in from outside to get them elected and smear the other campaign, the people who are campaigners. The reason this, I'm going to throw this out there, and a lot of people probably have had difficulty making sense out of what's going on today. But the Trump phenomenon, and I will call it that, was the reason they hated him is because he was an Israelite. His dad was from northern Germany. His mom was from Scottish Isles. And here's this guy, comes out with his own money, doesn't belong to political parties, and becomes president. I mean, this drove them absolutely bonkers insane. And for 4 years, they did everything. And the CIA was in on every attempt to get Trump out of office. And frankly, I think Trump should have done and could have and should have done a lot more to drain the swamp, because that's what this was all about. And his ultimate demise was because he didn't drain the swamp. He went 4 years without a Justice Department. You had the original attorney general in there. I forget.
Mueller.
The guy from the guy from George. The guy before Rosenstein, that Trump appointed, and the next day he recused himself from all matters.
The from Alabama.
But yeah, anyway.
Sessions,
yeah. And then he appoints this other joker who was just a deep state insider the whole time, didn't do anything, just deferring case after case after case. The Supreme Court's been totally compromised. All of Washington is completely compromised by basically the control of the CIA, the World Bank. But they hated Trump. It wasn't because of his policy with China or he got out of the Paris Climate Accord. It was because he was an Israelite. I mean, they hated this guy. They just fumed. And their whole goal right now was to destroy the Israelite nation of the United States. And here comes a guy that's making it do better, you know. That was not the plan. The plan was to take it down and rub. They didn't want it. They don't just destroy things. They want to rub your face in the mud while they do it.
We're talking about something much deeper than politics now. You're talking about, you're talking about basically good versus evil, that if God made a covenant with Israel, then the adversary to God wants to destroy that covenant. I'll show you. You're not going to fulfill this covenant. I'll destroy the whole line. They don't even know who they are, basically.
That's the problem, is Israelites don't know who they are. They've completely forgotten. It's been in the schools, in the universities. It's been whitewashed. There were people, along with Cecil Rhodes and Dewey, the Dewey Decimal System. Remember, Dewey wanted to standardize education. There were people going into
Carnegie.
The libraries.
Carnegie.
Yeah, there were, exactly. Yeah. The Smithsonian. It was to structure science and education and mathematics and everything so that the people eventually through a generation or two forgot who they were. They don't even know who they are. You have the majority of people.
Let me pause you. Is this controversial when you say basically America was an Israelite nation, founded as an Israelite nation? I mean, to me,
controversial about it?
Well, I don't, good question. I don't know. To me, the research I've done, I don't 100% is, am I 100% of, I don't know if I'm 100% sure of anything, but
there was a mix in there. There was a mix. You had Hamilton, who wanted the banking different. There was, you know, and now they're celebrating Hamilton. You know, who's celebrating
Hamilton?
Yeah,
get rid of Jackson. Yeah, getting rid of Jackson off the $20 bill, too, is coming soon.
Oh, well, yeah, it's you know, if you destroy a civilization's history, you then can manipulate who they're going to be in the future. That's what's going on. All of this, and people go, well, I never heard about this. Well, yeah, you went to public school or private school who used the public school textbooks. You didn't learn anything. You're like, I have people calling in and writing in and like old people. And they're like, I never knew I was an Israelite. And then, yeah, like you never knew because in your whole life, nobody ever told you who
There's
you are.
I got the book right here in my hand, and this is a very old copy from like, I don't know, 1917 or 19, I don't know. Judah's Scepter and Joseph's Birthright. There's been several books about it. This is probably the most famous book on this part of it anyway. You know, there's a lot, you know, like James is saying, there's a lot to this. But at least on this part, you want one book. It's in the Library of Congress by J.H. Allen. Judah's Scepter, Joseph's Birthright. Joseph came, you know, fruitful bough going over the well. That was a promise Israel on his deathbed made to Ephraim and Manasseh. Okay, where's the well? Where'd they go? Their fruitful bough going where? They came here to America, and they're going to give you a land of milk and honey and all these things. What has America been? How significant is this, James, that we understand this, and how does it change anything?
Well, let me give you an example. I'm going to take an example of Nancy Pelosi. Who's Nancy Pelosi? She's Italian. Parents both are Italian. And
she's a mafia's daughter. She's a mafioso's daughter, who she is.
Yes.
Allegedly. Anyway.
Well, and there the issue, too, is that there was a segment in Italy that, when they came to the U.S., became the mafia. And who were they? Primarily, they were moved to Sicily. They were thrown out of Italy. And you can go back and look at who these people were. But then they kind of, when all of the movement towards the United States came in the late 1800s, the Sicilians moved into New York and Chicago and started the mobs. And they worked with the CIA hand in glove, by the way, through all kinds of, because they were operating in the same businesses. You know, the CIA was the government agency that allowed them to happen. They did deals together. Who moved the drugs of the CIA into the streets? The mob, you know,
anybody seen the movie Godfather? The movie Godfather, although it's fiction, nonfiction kind of thing. What do they talk about? The drugs you see in that movie, the drug trade being put into the cities. They want to put in the black communities first, the poor communities first. Where do you think all that was coming from? Who do you think the biggest drug dealer in America is and has been? Gary Webb.
How did
Gary
they get Webb it across
dead.
The border?
Yeah, yeah, Gary. How do you think it got here? Gary Webb is dead now because he risked his life and dared to report that the biggest crack dealer in America, the world, in Los Angeles in the 90s was the CIA. You see how all this is connected, and all this weakening with the opium, with the opioids, and this weakening, and now they're legalizing pot, and our children don't know who they are, and they go to school, and it's outcome-based education, and the vaccines, and the toxins, and the poisons, and everything, and everything. We keep being cursed because we keep separating ourselves from God and keep accepting these things. When we send our children to the altar of Moloch, what do we expect to come back? What do we expect, ladies and gentlemen? There's an irrevocable covenant that is on the United States of America. I have gotten criticized more than anything I have ever said on this show. That right there. And I will say it again. I will double down. I will triple down. There is an irrevocable covenant from God Almighty on the United States of America. The Declaration of Independence, the Constitution, the Bible, our blood, who we are, our history are all central to it. I know it. With I know anything, that's it. I know that. Go ahead, James.
And it's all being destroyed right now. Everything you talked about is being taken under right now in 100 different ways. This has been planned, and the entire government is is positioned to take down the entire United States. There was a four-year hiatus because Trump was president, and I don't agree with everything he did. He could have done a lot more to shed the country of all of this, and now it's back stronger than ever.
Now he slowed the boulder roll. I mean, his administration, whatever, he slowed the boulder rolling. I mean, he definitely did that.
Right, but make no mistake, the reason they hated him was two things. He was an Israelite, and he wanted to take the Israelite nation back and give it back to you. That's why they hated him.
You know, and there's this fascinating, the word Jew, I mean, we could talk for hours about that, even that word Jew, what that means. That's not a word. That's a bastardized, made-up word. The tribe of Judah, Judah, you said it earlier, Judahites. Jesus was a Judahite from the house of David, a Judahite. Why Judahite? Because he came from Judah. Who did Judah come from? Israel, Jacob, 12 sons. One of them was Judah. One of them was Joseph. The birthright, the choicest blessing. See, they talk about what's going on in Jerusalem and the Middle East, and they're fawn over this, and they get all the Christian churches, and rightly so to some degree. But here's where they screw up. The choicest blessing of all the house of Israel was placed on Joseph and his two sons. You don't believe me? Read the Bible. The double portion, the birthright, is on the tribe of Joseph, not the tribe of Judah. And when they migrated and all the different wars and the captivities, and they came to central Denmark, where do you think Denmark got its name? From the tribe of Dan. And you keep going further to Britain and Ireland and the people that came over here. They were from the tribe of Joseph. They had why do you think the first settlers were so adamant about their religion? They were so tribal. Why do you think, you know, that word tribal is, why do you think they were tribal? Because they were a tribe. And when they came here, the choicest blessing of the whole world from God Almighty in the Bible is on the people that settled the United States of America. And I'm going to get crucified for saying that, but I'm going to say it. And what happened to America? And what are we seeing now? Because we are being cursed. Read Deuteronomy 28, and it goes in reverse.
You see the destruction of the family. You just see the destruction of kids. You know, the complete distortion of anything family. That's why, you know, the woke community, that it's to try and make people feel guilty because of their standards of regarding family, et cetera. It's to break it down so it never comes back again. That's the entire point of everything that's going on right now, because there's two forces going on in the world right now. And the one group doesn't even know what's going on to them. They don't even know who they are.
Ladies and gentlemen, what do you think is going to happen? I mean, just back up. You call yourself a Christian, and you are, and you're religious, and God's important to you. What in the world do you think would happen when you send your children 8 or 9 hours a day to a place where they can't talk about God? And they do talk about religion. It's secular humanism. They just don't talk about the religion of their fathers, the religion of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the religion of our fathers, our foundation, family, all these things. It's all intertwined. I'm going to say it again, and then I'll leave the last 3-4 minutes to you, James. You can crucify, you can hang, you can quit listening to the show. I don't care. I'm going to tell you, there is an irrevocable covenant from God Almighty testified to in the Bible, and the Declaration of Independence is part of it, on the United States of America. An irrevocable divine decree and covenant on this country that if we will just remember it, we will be able to throw off this tyranny, and liberty and truth and virtue will live. And these people are as insignificant as a fly to the purposes and will and times of God Almighty. And they matter not at all. They don't matter a damn. Because God has this covenant and he will fulfill. If we will fulfill. Period. End of story. Stop sending your children to these indoctrination centers. Stop supporting abortion or even being complicit in it. Stop sacrificing your children on the altars of Molech. Stop, 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 and turn to your God. Turn to the God of your fathers and ask and beg for redemption. Beg for redemption. Last 3 minutes or so are yours, James.
Well, Daniel, I didn't mean to, but the people have to understand what's going on today. And from a historical point of view, this is the racism. Let me summarize this if you take one thing away from this, this is the true racism today. They're trying to make people today feel guilty because there were slaves in the, 300 years ago. You didn't have anything to do with them. My ancestors came from Ireland. None of my ancestors had anything to do with that. Why would you make people feel guilty? Because you're white? That's the racism. You see how they mix things, distort things, etc. And the whole issue of, the Irish were not well treated when they came here.
They were the first slaves. James, they were the first slaves. James, the Irish were the first slaves. And then they revolted, and then they went to the blacks. They said, well, we're going to go to the blacks, and the black people sold themselves. I mean, that's just history. And I don't mean that derogatory. I don't. It's terrible. But that's what happened. The Irish were the first slaves in the United States.
But the whole point here is this is a racism. This is one race that's using cunning and deception to destroy another race, which is the Israelites. The Israelites are the white-skinned, blue-eyed, blonde-haired people that love beautiful music. The Irish always loved music. They were seafarers. They loved the outdoors. They were if you want to talk about tree huggers and people that are environmentally conscious, the Irish and the Celts in general are very conscious of the earth and caring for the earth because that produces everything that you need. Very conscious of that. So, but this is about racism. This is about one group that hates. They hate so much they, walk in snake's clothing, but they talk with forked tongue and they're deceptive. They work, they've spent their lives perfecting the art of deception.
Wow, what a powerful interview, powerful information. I'm sure, this is going to make you think. And these are obviously decisions you need to make, ladies and gentlemen, and to decide for yourself. Obviously, James has done a lot of research. I've done, a fair amount of research to understand this. And it's just an absolute pleasure to always have you on, James. JMCCSCI.com is his website. We didn't even mention his wing generator. You want to get independent on power. You want to have freedom and have some independence. Check out that. Contact him about that. It's an absolute pleasure to talk to you, ladies and gentlemen. God bless you. God be with you. Happy, healthy, successful, and free as God intends you. Rise up and be the people that God intends you, that God has promised you. Okay? Be that. Love you. Talk to you soon. Stay there, James.
We've all heard about antibiotics, but what about probiotics? Antibiotic means against life. Probiotic means pro-life. Antibiotics kill bacteria that are infectious and harmful to the body. They also kill the good bacteria, though, that are necessary for good health. Probiotics from Living Streams replaces the healthy balance of friendly bacteria and normalizes the digestive tract. Gastritis, ulcers, diarrheal disease is just a few of the problems people develop when the intestinal flora is out of balance. Living Streams probiotics create the healthy balance needed for good digestion, suppresses growth of pathogenic bacteria, and actually increases resistance to infection. Call the Power Hour, 877-817-9829. Order your Living Stream probiotics today. They're available in 2, 4, and 8-ounce bottles, and Living Streams probiotics comes with a money-back guarantee. Get your body back in balance with Living Streams probiotics today. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Living Streams probiotics. Everyone should be pro-life.